This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and we are 10 months away from the November 3rd election. We're going to talk about that and more with Professors Dane Sherman and Jeff Satto. Dane on the left, Jeff on the right, but we do want to note the story that National Public Radio, NPR, is following continues, and we will follow it with you throughout the day. Major General Qasem Soleimani, the powerful and shadowy 62-year-old spy master at the head of Iran's security machinery, was killed overnight by an American drone strike near the Baghdad airport. And, of course, this is a story with major implications, and we will see how it plays out. Your number is 877-217-5757, and our Talk Louisiana email is talk@talklouisiana.org. We are 10 days away from the inauguration of Governor John Bel Edwards for a second term in office, and on that date, LSU will play Clemson at the Louisiana Superdome for the national title in football, and of course, the whole state is following that, but this should be a major year for political implications, and the governor takes office with a legislature that's not likely to be compliant. Again, your number is 877-217-5757. But let's start nationally. Jeff Satto, the state of Louisiana went handsomely for Donald John Trump by 20 points over Hillary Rodham Clinton in 2016. How does it look for 2020?
Oh, pretty much the same, I would say. I really don't see anything differently happening with that election, with Congress. Pretty much hit the repeat button there.
Okay, well, the Senate could switch hands, but in Louisiana right now it looks like Bill Cassidy is in relatively safe position, and maybe I should say more than relatively safe position. He is safe until someone with resources runs against him. But the Senate as a whole, the U.S. Senate, is it possible that Democrats could gain control of the Senate after the votes are counted on November 3rd?
Yeah, you know, the field last time was pretty favorable for Republicans. Not so much this time in terms of retirements. Even if there's a coattail effect from the presidential election, and at this point you look at the models and the like, and it would suggest Trump is going to be reelected. You don't see that much of a coattail effect of the Senate. Those ten elections tend to act a little more independently. So yeah, it's certainly a possibility. But probably at this point, the Republicans would have to be favored to retain the Senate at least, and maybe inching towards the favorites now to retake the House.
Retake the House?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the way the impeachment seems to be playing out with the public, you're seeing now Trump approach his highest popularity ratings of his term, which, again, relatively speaking, aren't that high, but for him they are. You see polling breaking in favor of people against the impeachment process. It seems to be firing up more the Republican base than the Democrats. So, at this point, I think still probably Democrats are favored to hold on to the House with a reduced margin, but it's becoming increasingly likely that the Republicans take that away, especially if there's a Trump victory, because that coattail effect tends to work much better on the House side when it comes to presidential elections.
Again, your number is 877-217-5757. Political scientist Jeff Satto of LSU Shreveport. And now we're going to hear from Dane Sherman, who is an accomplished writer and blogger and teaches at Southeastern Louisiana University, speaking as a private citizen. And Professor Sherman, Professor Satto is correct. Trump, in his polling average from Real Clear Politics, is at 45.1% approving, 52.2% disapproving. Those numbers are not good, but they are better than they have been for the president in quite some time. So it does appear that whatever is happening, and impeachment has been the biggest thing that is happening, it seems to be working slightly in the favor of the president. How does this compute as far as assessing the election 10 months from today?
Jim, it's a toss-up. The Democrats have got to have a really strong candidate that is coalesced behind the candidate and the ticket itself. The vice president is going to have to really appeal to a broad base of supporters. They're going to have to fire up that base. And it's a toss-up whether they can come together. I don't know. Obviously, a lot of my friends on the left of center will shiver and probably send me nasty notes. It probably favors the president, but it would favor the president in almost any circumstance until the Democrats can show that they're ready to really take it to Trump. I disagree. I don't think the House is in any chance of going to the Republicans, and I think it's very likely that the Senate will become a Democratic majority. But the presidency is definitely a toss-up, but there's no way to handicap that at this point.
Do you think the president is worthy of re-election?
Well, I don't like to curse on radio, but no, I don't believe he's worthy of re-election. I think he is not worthy of re-election. You know, who knows how this if they call witnesses in the Senate trial, which is doubtful, but if they do, you know, he might decide to go back to the golf course.
877-217-5757. We'll go to the phone lines in a moment with Jeff Saddo and Dane Sherman. And the president's approval rating on the economy is 53.8%. So he is above water when it comes to the economy. And as James Carville said, it's the economy stupid in the 1992 election. Ultimately, Jeff Saddo, will this election, will it be determined by how well or how not well the economy is doing?
Yeah, as always, that plays a big role in these kinds of things. I mean, the models I was referring to moments ago are those put out by some econometric firms or firms that deal with those kinds of things. And, yeah, obviously they're based heavily on perceptions of economic performance. And that's what's really driving the pro-Trump numbers or calculations that are coming from these. Again, you've got an economy that's much better than it has been for many years, setting record lows in unemployment and the like, still fairly solid, if not spectacular, growth. So historically, people have responded to that and responded to it positively, and so that's why these models are so optimistic about a Trump re-election. And the people who do these, they pretty much all have the same message. They say there'd have to be a major economic retrenchment in the next few months for Trump not to win re-election. Again, according to these models, which have been almost always right, but there have been a couple misses in there in the last 40 years.
At the same time, there are very few people predicting the president will win the overall vote. And that, of course, is not the way the game is played. It's played in the Electoral College. But the president, of course, has never acknowledged that he lost the vote by almost 3 million votes to Hillary Clinton in 2016. As noted in Louisiana, he's going to carry this state. He probably will carry all of the SEC states, all 11 of them, as he did in 2016. But do you think he's worthy of re-election, Jeff Saddo?
Yeah, he's delivered on a lot of what he promised, not everything entirely. His style may be abrasive, and it may be distracting. Leads some people, like former Governor Bobby Jindal, to lament his constant social media output. But yeah, as far as policy and performance, he's certainly done what he said he was going to do, and I think in a way that's been quite positive for the country.
Impeachment, is that a factor?
Well, it's a factor, and you know, it could go either way. In the sense that, as I mentioned earlier, it is something that could fire up different kinds of bases and do it differently. You know, at this point, I'd have to say impeachment is something that's been positive for his numbers. It's really fed into a narrative that the Democrats, that's all they're really interested in. They really don't want to do anything else. They're trying.
All right, hold tight. We're going to go to a phone call before we hit the break with Jeff Satto and Dane Sherman. Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Two quick points. Hopefully I'll be able to make them without you hanging up. Anyway, number one, toss-up. Toss-up, I believe it was between two parties, two people, two factions, whatever. You know, it's President Trump versus who is the other toss-up? There's like still 10 clowns on the other side, so I don't know who the toss-up is going to be between President Trump and one of the clowns. I don't know. And the other one is, how would you feel, how would you vote in regard to popularity if every day, let's say, Jim Inkster would hear from 90% of the media saying, Jim Inkster is a racist, he's an idiot, he's mentally ill, he's a fraud, he is corrupt.
Thank you, Gustavo. We'll be back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Jeff Palermo producing today, and you can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. On the right is Jeff Satto in Shreveport, the LSU political scientist who's been doing his thing in Louisiana for about 30 years or more. And on the left is Dane Sherman, professor at SLU, writer of renown, and a political blogger who's on the left side of the political spectrum. And Dane, before we went to the break, Gustavo and Goodwood insisted the media are largely against the president and taking it to him on a daily basis. Does he have a point, or is the president worthy of the treatment he is receiving?
Well, President Trump spends his time trying to figure out how he can make a dollar illegally and get away with it. So I don't see the issue. What Gustavo didn't say is how much free media Trump received in order to be elected. And he was the darling of the media and got billions of dollars worth of free media. And that helped him be elected. So he is a creation of the media, for good or bad. And I don't think you can just say that the media has done nothing but tear him down. They've also given him so much press that it helped him be elected on the cheap, more than anything else.
877-217-5757 for Professors Sherman and Satto. And again, talk@talklouisiana.org. We'll go to some emails in just a moment, but Jeff tells me we've got someone who's been waiting for a while, and we'll go to the phone lines. Jeff, who is on the line waiting to talk with the professors? It's Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. I wish people would check out the documentary called The Great Hack. I mean, our 2016 election was hacked and perverted in conjunction with some actors in a foreign country. And I have to say, the very definition of treason is what the president did and his campaign did. So you guys are traitors. Good luck.
Why is it treason, Phil? All right. I think we lost Phil, but Phil's all worked up saying the president's guilty of treason. Is that hyperbole or is that an outright lie? What's your assessment, Professor Satto?
Well, I don't see any evidence for that at all. I mean, we have endless investigations going on about that, still going on. And so, you know, let's wait for what comes out of that. But so far, nothing like that has been turned up. I mean, other than a few people voting illegally in a few states.
Now, Professor Sherman, in Louisiana, the entire Republican delegation from the Louisiana House, Louisiana Federal House, voted not to impeach the president. They are staunchly in his corner. Congressman Graves, Congressman Scalise, Johnson, Higgins, Abraham, they are all on board with the president and seem to be paying no political price for doing so. If anything, may actually be benefiting from their base. What's your take on why the president's misdeeds, if he has committed them, have not played it well in Louisiana?
Well, he's more popular than those representatives. As a rule, you know, people really don't like those guys, the ones you mentioned. They're most of them are loathsome characters, but they in Louisiana, people like Trump. I mean, there's no question if he is on the ticket, he's going to be the winner in Louisiana next time. It will not take hacking or any other anything else. He's going to be the candidate in Louisiana. And he is more popular than those House members, and they know that, and they're going to stay on the Trump train as long as there is a Trump train.
Well, and in the U.S. Senate, it's no big secret, but William Morgan Cassidy and John Neely Kennedy are going to vote not to convict the president. We know that. We know that before any evidence is presented. Is that a factor?
It is a factor. The leads to a question that I have. How long has it been since either of those characters have been on your show, Jim?
It's been a while. Kennedy was on.
And they're scared
last
to go on your show because they do not want to be asked questions that are difficult. And it's very similar to this, what they're going to do in the Senate. They're not going to vote to convict on any count of this impeachment. And they're really not, you know, they don't stay on their own. They know that Trump is more popular than they are, and they would just wrap themselves in as much Trump clothing as possible in hopes of re-election.
Well, most politicians, believe it or not, like a friendly voice when they're being interrogated, if you will. And I don't know that this is an interrogation, but you can bet that on other programs in radio, which are largely from a conservative slant, that Senators Cassidy and Kennedy will get one softball after another and people telling them what a great job they're doing. Here, it would be a bit different than that. And Kennedy is good enough to joust with the best of them and has come on the show, and I suspect he'll be back. I'm not sure about Cassidy. He has told an aide that he did not come on this show because, quote, why should I take the risk? 877-217-5757. But as we noted, there is no risk right now. Antoine Pierce is trying his best to run against Bill Cassidy but has no resources. And it's a statement about the Democratic Party in Louisiana, Jeff Sado, that the Democrats don't have anybody ramping up to run against an incumbent senator with a six-year term. This is almost political heresy that there is not anybody stepping forward to give it a shot.
Yeah, I think that'll change. They're going to I would suspect somebody with at least a minor pedigree in office will step up. I don't know whether that'd be competitive. Even some of the best, strongest names out there, you know, they're just they're just not going to do well. And you know, really, if you're somebody that there's nothing else for you to do in the world of politics, you've been term limited out or something, you know, this is an office that may appeal to that kind of Democrat. But yeah, it would be shocking if any of them did very well. Or even one against Cassidy.
We saw this in 2011 when Bobby Jindal was running for re-election and was somewhat vulnerable, and nobody ran against him with any money. Tara Hollis spent $18,000 and finished second with 18% of the votes. And Jindal got over 60% in his re-election quest. Dane Sherman, what does this say about the Democratic Party in Louisiana?
They need to change leadership. It's pretty simple that they need a new chair of the party, and that's where it needs to start. You don't leave the same chair there year after year when there's really nothing going on. And in fact, I think all practical purposes, the governor should be able to have the say on who the chair is. And if the governor leaves the current chair there, then I don't think he wants the party to proceed. So I think there needs to be a big shakeup at the top.
All right, Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Dane Sherman and Jeff Sado. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Yeah. Is Trump's popularity indicative of the ignorance of the majority? As illustrated by, you know, jaywalking on Leno's show, the street interviews on Kimmel. I mean, people just accept at face value whatever L. Rushbow or Sean Hannity tells them.
What about Trump supporters? Can you profile them, Jeff Sado? You're a political scientist. What does the average Trump supporter look like?
A typical Trump supporter is, not surprisingly, conservative, a Republican. You know, we've seen in the last half a century, there's been, in terms of political views in the country and the distribution of them,
we've seen this interesting inversion in pattern form where you have mainly conservative and Republican support in what you consider to be, for lack of a better term, the middle class. And then you've seen greater Democratic inroads made in the upper class and, of course, still in the lower class. So you would find typically, in a sense, the Republicans and their supporters would be in the middle in terms of income, education, alike. And then on the extreme ends would be Democrats. So the typical Trump voter falls kind of in there, you'd have to say, in the middle, if you have one typology.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. Our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. I'm Jim Inkster, Jeff Palermo producing, Professors Jeff Satto and Shreveport, Dane Sherman and Hammond, and we will return after this pause for the news on WRKF with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from Brian Lowe Financial and another segment with Dane Sherman, professor at Southeastern Louisiana University, and Jeff Satto, professor at LSU Shreveport, speaking as private citizens, but both passionate about our world. And Dane comes from the left side of the spectrum, Jeff from the right. Your number, 877-217-5757, 10 months from Election Day. And Laverne, if you'll call back, I sure would appreciate it. I think I just disconnected you, but Laverne in Mid-City was waiting for a while, and we want to put you ahead of the pack if we can. And as mentioned, 10 months away from the election, which not only is the election for president, but also for the U.S. Senate, for mayor of Baton Rouge. Also, all the congressional seats are on the ballot, and it's going to be certainly a free-for-all as we move forward. But in Louisiana, these elections don't look like they're going to be hotly contested. I think you're going to have to bring Laverne up, Jeff. Let's go to Laverne in Mid-City. You're on with Professor Satto and Sherman. Hi, Laverne.
Hey, Happy New Year to my old friend and former colleague, Dane Sherman, and to the rest of the gentlemen on the panel. I just want to say that I think the Democratic committees here in Louisiana and at the national level have to get their act together. I know qualifying is in the next couple of months for the state. I really think that Comrade Cornpone, our Louisiana senator, and Senator Kennedy can both be challenged with a decent candidate, but we've got to have some leadership on the committee level. And go Tigers.
All right. Thank you, Laverne. Appreciate your comments. And a listener, Tom on Blue Bonnet, says that Jay Darden would be a formidable candidate for Bill Cassidy. And ironically, it was Cassidy's entry into politics as the successor to Darden in the Louisiana Senate. But the listener says Darden would run as a Republican, but would receive all the Democratic vote by default and get enough of the Republican vote to defeat William Morgan Cassidy. But looks like Jay Darden's going to run for LSU president and chancellor. And once again, Jeff, can you pull up Dane Sherman, and we'll get his take on whether Jay Darden would be a viable candidate for the chancellor and president of LSU. Dane Sherman, your thoughts about whether this is a viable thing. Dane's on the other line, Jeff. Good morning, Jeff, and good morning, Dane. Hi, Dane.
Yes, and Happy New Year to all the listeners, including Laverne. Yes, I think that Jay Darden would be a viable person to run against Cassidy as a Democrat. But it goes back to Laverne's call, and that is the difficulties of the party being in arrears and in a mess, and the structure needing to be changed at the top. But I think the issue with LSU, sure, the guy wants to be the chancellor president of LSU. Who wouldn't want to be the chancellor president of LSU? Whether he's going to get it or not is another story. But the rumors are out there. They're constant. You hear them constantly. But they're the biggest factor that Darden faces is he was too silent during the Jindal years while Jindal was trying to destroy LSU. And not everybody's going to forget that.
All right, Jeff Satto, your thoughts about Jay Darden and his viability.
I think he's one of the leading candidates. I mean, supposedly they're going to have a national search and the like, but You know, we have a history here in Louisiana of these insiders, and even those like Darden with no academic experience whatsoever, getting positions like this. So,
you say that almost with disdain.
I question. Even we look back at, say, Sean O'Keefe, although he did not, you know, he came from government and the private sector, but he still did have an academic background. Darden doesn't have that. Lawson Swearingen, when he was president at what's now ULM, didn't. Rick Gallo, now president of Grambling, none whatsoever. They're all politicians. And so, you know, I question the wisdom of that approach to picking our university leaders.
And I think the listener is onto something. Darden would be the worst nightmare if he got in that Senate race against Cassidy. Cassidy wouldn't like that a lot.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't like it. I don't think he'd win. The Republicans in general have become very sour about Darden, and he'd pick up a few Republican votes still, but it would be a competitive race, but I don't see Cassidy losing to Darden. And in any event, it's a moot point. Darden's got no interest at that at this point.
Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Henry, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Professor Sadow and Professor Sherman. This being a new year, I'm not even going to attack Professor Sadow this time. I was just going to point out that back about a month or so ago, I called up both Senator Cassidy's office and Senator Kennedy's office, and I know they don't care what I think, but I just left a message that somebody is going to be the Barry Goldwater in this Trump thing. They had the opportunity to, or they could let that opportunity go by. Both offices, the person answering the phone said, "Who's Barry Goldwater?" So those professors had their work cut out for them.
Well, Barry Goldwater carried Louisiana in the year of 1964. And Dane Sherman, Jeff, can we go to Dane? When we look at the possible Republicans to vote against the president or vote to convict him in the Senate, I don't think any of them are going to do it. Susan Collins, once again, is saying she might, but forget it. She's going to vote with Trump. Let's face it, it's going to be a unanimous vote, almost certainly, for the president on the Republican side in the United States Senate.
Yeah, I think it is. And I do understand Henry's frustration with the caller, with the people on the other end not knowing who Barry Goldwater was. And I get the gravity of it, that somebody needs to stand up and say, you know, enough's enough, and be that Barry Goldwater character. I thought maybe it would be Mitch, but I'm not so sure that that's the case.
Mitch McConnell?
Excuse me, Mitt. I'm sorry, Mitt.
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney, I'm sorry. But I don't know that anybody on the Republican side has got enough nerve to do it. I just don't know.
877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Professor Sherman and Sato. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, I am by no means a Trump supporter. And if Trump is telling the truth about the situation, killing this Iranian military figure, planning to kill American diplomats, I will totally support him. But, you know, George Bush lied about weapons of mass destruction. Ronald Reagan sent troops to Grenada 2 or 3 days after the Beirut barracks. When President Clinton sent cruise missiles into Afghanistan when he was being impeached, every Clinton hater said it was a wag the dog. Now, President Trump has been impeached, and I just hope that this is not a wag the dog. And since Trump has lied everything he's ever said since he's been president, how can the American people support a president and go to war where thousands can be killed based on information and intelligence coming out of the White House when everything this man has ever said as president is a lie?
All right. Let's get Jeff Sato a chance on that one. Jeff, your thoughts about the president at this time. Certainly the subject has been changed, but has it been changed enough for the president to make an eloquent case for his decision in a severe matter that will appease both political sides of the spectrum? What are your thoughts?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we see there was this definitive provocation, and it would be logical that there would be this kind of response to it. I mean, there's certainly this character and the things that have occurred at the hand of Iran, not just against U.S. Military or diplomatic personnel, but other allies. I mean, certainly you could find all sorts of excuses to try to take this guy out, but this seemed like a pretty justifiable one. So, I don't see why anybody would have a problem with that. And even the Democrat candidates for president have all pretty much said that they didn't. They say they need more information and more transparency, but they've all gone along with this decision.
All right. Some emails from listeners that I'd like to get to. What do your guests think that the president discusses with Vladimir Putin when no one else is present and written minutes are kept? That's from Edwin commenting. Okay. Steve Wenham writes, the former budget director, "I've come to believe the main reason Trump supporters like him is because they are much like him. They share his values." Ricky Causey writes, "The Democrats have numerous candidates who are obviously capable and intelligent people, and I like them. Unfortunately, I do not see the mass electorate favoring any one of them currently. Maybe any of them could beat Trump. I don't know. I can't underestimate the low that many Americans are racing downhill to achieve. I have close friends in Europe who have told me that the idea of George Clooney running for president comes up occasionally in the press there. Ironically, I too," writes Ricky, "have mentioned to friends many times that this is what the Democrats need right now, a candidate of worldwide celebrity, but who is obviously intelligent and knowledgeable on issues and concerns and who has the physical presence and articulation to match." Do the Democrats need a celebrity candidate, Dane Sherman? What are your thoughts about the George Clooney type?
Or the Oprah Winfrey type is really what they're saying without saying, because she would be the anti-Trump. But no, I don't think that's a good idea. I think we've tried the celebrity route before, and I'm not inclined to support a celebrity president in that kind of manner. I don't think that's where we need to go.
Well, we did it in 2016, and I think that you have to say Donald Trump did it. Win the election. So he is the president. So maybe that is the new norm when it comes to winning presidential elections. We'll talk more with Professor Sato and Sherman after this time out. Your number is 877-217-5757. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Jeff Palermo is producing, and Dr. Adam Hill has agreed to step aside, and we'll hear from him next week. A fascinating book that we will hear much about in a program next week, Long Walk Out of the Woods. With us for a little bit longer are Jeff Sato on the right and Shreveport, political science professor of note, and Dane Sherman, professor at Southeastern Louisiana University, blogger, and speaking as private citizen Sherman. He is on the left side of the spectrum, as we know. We've had Dane and Jeff with us many times. And again, your number is 877-217-5757. If you get a busy signal, be patient. We're going to try to get to as many of you as we can. Patrick in Ennis-Wald Estates. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Patrick.
I disagree with your earlier caller that said Grenada was not a good war. That was a good war. We liberated that entire island from communism. And as far as Iran, I think it would fall like Iraq. It would fall within days. The people there are tired of that government, and they would probably help us to overthrow it and liberate themselves.
All right, are you saying the Iraqi war was a good one, Patrick?
Yes, it was a good war.
You thought that was a good
war? Mission
was
accomplished. Mission was accomplished. No one wants to recognize
that. I'm not so sure about
that. It was.
They're still fighting over there.
Pulled out.
How many years later? 17 years later, and they're still fighting?
How many years were we in Japan when we freed them and Germany?
We weren't at war in Japan.
We have to fight a war.
We're still at war over there.
Yeah, but you see, Iraqi was a good war. It's just that Obama pulled out and then ISIS came in.
Okay, so
if Obama
it was
had stayed
fault.
There.
Everything's
yes,
Obama's
definitely.
Fault. Okay. All right, Dane Sherman, your thoughts about whether we should go into all-out war with Iran. Patrick in Ennis-Wald Estates ready to flex his muscles.
Yeah, I don't hear anything about Patrick wanting to join either. So that's enough of Patrick.
All right. There are some people who believe the U.S., under the direction of Donald John Trump, who got out of war with bone spurs, should take it to these bad actors around the world. Should we dive in and start bombing people and trying to get rid of people in control of governments we don't like? Jeff Satto, what do you think?
Well, Trump's been rather reticent to
engage
in those kinds of activities.
He has. I agree.
He said that we have maybe too many commitments, and our allies aren't pulling weight, and we shouldn't be involved so much in these kinds of things. That said, I think this action of earlier today, shows that he's there are certainly limits to that kind of thinking on his part, that he's going to act when he thinks it's necessary. But I don't see any great wave of engagement of America in hot spots around the globe, especially with this president.
Well, and I'm with David in Atlanta. I think the president should be supported in this endeavor. We are Americans first, and I presume the president made this decision with consultation and with some hesitation, but he made it, and the American people, of course, are waiting to see what happens. Stephen in Denham Springs. Good morning, Stephen. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey guys. I just have a question. What do y'all think together that y'all could, that both the left and the right could do to be less polarized? I mean, what do you think? Is it a president, or is it party lines that needs to be worked on, or something more along the lines of being bipartisan than actually like fighting all the time?
All right, Professor Satto. What do you think about a panacea, if there is one, to this division we have in our country?
Well, this is something that's become a hot topic in political science, trying to figure out why there has been more polarization, not just in Congress and other legislative bodies, but within the public as well. And there are a number of things dealing with education, with media and dissemination of news and the news cycle, this kind of goes back some to parties and elections too. So really the causes are pretty complex, and if you want to start unwinding this, then you have to start looking at a number of different things. In the final analysis, people that are put into office and create this polarization and conflict in our representative institutions, they're there because of elections. And until the public begins to look at things differently and choose different kinds of candidates, then this is going to continue. So that's where it has to start. Now how that changes, I don't know, because it's been a long-term secular trend to get to this point, and it will take a while to go back from this.
And Dane Sherman, people say they hate negative advertising, but any fool would know that negative advertising works, and quite often people are demonized when they're running for office. Good people are made into bad people, and both sides of the political spectrum do this. Is that contributing to the polarization we have in our country?
I will agree with Dr. Satow. It's just so complicated. This is not an easy topic. I don't have a lot of answers for it. Just know that both sides do it. If the what you want is something to raise money on, and that's the biggest issue with polarization. If you don't have polarization, you can't raise money.
All right, Jennifer in Mid City. Jennifer, you're on with Dane and Jeff. Hi, Jennifer. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm commenting on a few minutes ago, talking about this Iran situation. War is great for re-election campaigns, and I'm afraid that we're venturing into something for the expediency of an election as opposed to prudent diplomacy. And Jim, I think you give our president a lot of credit, saying you're sure he's consulted with people who know these things. I don't know that our president is always consulting with people who give the best advice.
I agree with you on that, but I think the military people around the president probably are giving him very good advice, and he would be an absolute fool if he did not rely on their advice. And in this case, he, as the commander-in-chief, our commander-in-chief, decided to make a bold decision that could have some repercussions. And let's face it, when you assassinate somebody, as this was an assassination, you face the prospect of assassination yourself. And God hope, let's hope something like that doesn't happen in our country, whether it's the president or any other public official, as retaliation for what happened in Iran. John in Livingston. John, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I've been hearing Professor Sato a couple of times here recently on the radio, and I'm a little puzzled that his radio persona seems to be very different from his written persona in the newspaper and the Advocate. His columns tend to be kind of biting, but on the air, he projects a very calm, reasonable demeanor, and just like his thoughts on the polarity of the political parties and the voters needing to vote in the correct candidates, very insightful. So I'm kind of wondering, why does he have two different personas?
Jeff?
All right. Well, you know, you've got 600 words to make a point, and it's sometimes it's very difficult to get into any level of detail, complexity, and those kinds of things. Why I always kind of prefer to write on in the blog and the internet, because then you can take as much space as you like and go in whatever direction you like. But yeah, writing on a regular schedule, the set number of words is a very exacting task, and so things kind of come out differently that way. You have to write in a way that really is concise and grabs attention. And, you know, I'm the same guy either way. It's just, you know, maybe when I have a little more time to explain myself, it might seem to some more reasonable, so to speak.
All right. Dane Sherman, do you have one personality on the air and another when you're writing?
No, I'm pretty much the same guy. But I do appreciate that Dr. Sadow is reasonable in our discussions, and I want to say I appreciate that and let the world know that I do find him very reasonable on these radio
right.
broadcasts.
Well, 10 months out, does Bill Cassidy win re-election?
Yeah, he wins re-election.
All right.
Sure
does Donald Trump win re-election?
Total toss-up.
Toss-up. Do Democrats retain control of the House?
Yes, they do, and they will take the Senate.
And they will take the Senate. Which means there might not be a vote on a Supreme Court justice for the next 4 years. The precedent's been set.
True. Very possible.
Your thoughts? I think Dane Sherman probably has a different point than you, Jeff, but what are your thoughts, Jeff Sato, about the president winning and the composition of the Congress next year?
Trump's going to win unless something really big happens, economy goes sour, something like that, which isn't too likely. Republicans have a decent shot of taking both chambers. Probably more likely, though, split them Senate and Democrats in the House. Here in Louisiana, I think everyone's going to cruise to re-election, and from our delegation.
Cal in Baton Rouge. You have the final word, Cal. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I tend to see, and I'm going back a little bit, tend to see a parallel between what's happening here in this country and what happened in Nazi Germany in the 1930s, that the German people were willing to follow Hitler in large part because they were economically content that the economy was going great. And
all right, we've got a roll. But thank you, Cal. Thank you, Professors Sato and Sherman. We'll be back Monday. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.